Radio Prague News.
Estonian Prime Minister Jüri Ratas arrives in Prague on Thursday to meet with his Czech counterpart Andrej Babiš. The University of Zurich has cancelled a lecture by Prime Minister Andrej Babiš at the opening of an exhibition about Czechoslovak immigration to Switzerland, and at least 10 people were injured after two trams collided in Prague on Thursday afternoon. Estonian Prime Minister Jüri Ratas arrives in Prague on Thursday to meet with his Czech counterpart Andrej Babiš ahead of a conference on digitalization, so-called e-government, and the single EU digital market. The two leaders will also discuss the possible strengthening of cooperation between the Visegrad Group and the Baltic states and relations between the EU and Russia. Estonia has been an early and effective adopter of digitalization, earning it the nickname of Estonia, and Mr. Ratas will share his country's experiences at the conference on Friday. According to a study by the consultancy McKinsey presented in Prague on Wednesday, Czech economic growth, now at 3.4%, could increase by a full percentage point if it pushed ahead with digitalization. McKinsey says high employment and consumer demand have been the main drivers of Czech GDP growth, but in the future, automation and the adaptation of new technologies will erase jobs. The University of Zurich has cancelled a lecture by Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš at the opening of an exhibition about Czechoslovak immigration to Switzerland. The event was cancelled after the university received an open letter from Czechoslovak immigrants who complained that Mr. Babiš was listed as an agent of the Czechoslovak communist-era secret police. The exhibition, called Second Life: Stories of People Who Found a New Home in Switzerland After 1968, opens at the University of Zurich on the 3rd of December. The new apostolic nuncio to the Czech Republic, Charles Daniel Balvo, is set to arrive in the Czech Republic on Thursday. The American, who has already served at the Prague nunciature, was appointed to the post by Pope Francis in September of this year. Mr. Balvo will be the fifth papal nuncio to the Czech Republic since 1990. Among his first tasks will be to choose candidates to replace Cardinal Dominik Duka in the post of Prague Archbishop when his term in office expires. At least 10 people were injured after two trams collided in Prague on Thursday afternoon. The accident happened on the Rašín embankment close to the dancing house in the center of the city. Tram traffic in the area had to be rerouted. The cause of the accident is being investigated by the police. The Czech Hydrometeorological Institute has issued a black ice alert for most parts of the Czech Republic, particularly the region of Moravia, Silesia, as well as southwest and central Bohemia. It will remain in place until Friday afternoon. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Friday is expected to be mostly overcast, with daytime temperatures ranging between 3 and 7 degrees Celsius. I'm Ruth Franková, and you can find more news at radio.cz.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Coming up in today's programme, the Social Democrats have decided to abstain from Friday's no-confidence vote. In a human rights gesture, the Czech Foreign Ministry is considering recreating François Mitterrand's 1988 breakfast with leading dissidents in Prague, and Vít Bohanka investigates the Czechs' changing attitude to water as scarcity becomes increasingly apparent. All that is coming up, so please stay with us. After more than a week of political uncertainty regarding the fate of the Czech government, the junior partner in the ruling coalition, the Social Democrats, announced they would allow the government to survive a motion of no confidence on Friday by abstaining from the vote. The decision was attacked by the opposition parties as cowardly and self-serving. Daniela Lazareva looked into the story.
When the Stork's Nest scandal, in which the Prime Minister is suspected of EU subsidy fraud, acquired a new dimension last week involving the alleged kidnapping of his son to Crimea so that he could not testify against his father, the fate of the Babiš cabinet hung in the balance. The opposition parties gathered enough support for a no-confidence motion in the government, and Anna's junior coalition partner, the Social Democrats, mulled their next step, whether to bring down the government and seal their own fate or ride out the storm with the embattled Prime Minister and accept co-responsibility for the worst scandal in Czech politics since 1989. Following heated debate inside the party, which is deeply divided over its presence in this government, party leader Jan Hamáček said the Social Democrats would leave the Assembly Hall during the no-confidence vote, thereby indirectly supporting the administration.
The Prime Minister's personal problems are burdening the government, and we lobbied hard for a change of Prime Minister, but the ANO party is categorically against that. So, by abstaining from the vote, we are acknowledging the problem, but our priority is to continue in this government and to implement our policy program.
Mr. Hamáček said the decision had been made in view of two key developments over the past few days. The efforts of the populist Freedom and Direct Democracy Party to strike a deal with ANO with the aim of replacing the Social Democrats in the coalition government, and President Zeman's announcement that should the government fall, he would once again task Andrej Babiš with forming a new government. Hamáček noted that with this in mind, it was obvious that a vote of no confidence would only harm the Social Democrats. And the only way to bring about a change of prime minister was via a motion to dissolve parliament and hold early elections, which his party was ready to support if 120 votes could be found for such a solution in the lower house. The news that Andrej Babiš would remain in office despite the scandal surrounding him has brought the wrath of the opposition down on the heads of the Social Democrats. They're being labelled cowardly, self-serving and insincere, since few people believe they would be ready to face early elections in view of their low public support ratings. Prime Minister Babiš, whose future as head of government is once again secure, also ridiculed the Social Democrats' stand in not actively supporting their own ministers and said he saw no point in early elections.
I don't think people want early elections. The government is successful. The country is successful. So why bother the public with early elections?
Despite the foregone conclusion of the planned vote of no confidence, the motion will go ahead in the lower house on Friday, and the opposition is preparing to lambast not just the Prime Minister, but the Social Democrats as well.
And that was Daniela Lazarová with that report. In December 1988, François Mitterrand had breakfast with leading dissidents in Prague, providing a major shot in the arm to the Czechoslovak opposition. The Czech Foreign Ministry is now reported to be planning similar events on the 30th anniversary of Mitterrand's gesture to demonstrate the country's support for human rights. Ian Willoughby has more.
L'écho considérable que suscita en France ce qui fut appelé le printemps de Prague et le prestige moral.
Then French President François Mitterrand refers to the 1968 Prague Spring Movement at a dinner at Prague Castle on the evening of December 8, 1988. Video footage shows his communist counterpart, Gustav Husak, looking rather uncomfortable. The following morning, the French head of state dismayed Husak further when he held a breakfast at his country's embassy in the Malostrana district with leading representatives of the Czechoslovak dissent. These included Václav Havel, Václav Mali, Jiří Dienstbier, Petr Uhl, and others associated with the Charter 77 movement. Though the meeting was officially sanctioned, Havel famously told Mitterrand that he had a toothbrush on him, as he couldn't be sure he wouldn't end up in custody the same day. Speaking to Czech radio a few years ago, Petr Uhl recalled the breakfast at the 17th century Buqua Palace.
For us it was amazing support because he was the first head of state to meet with us. It was his clear condition. Husák and the others knew that if they had forbidden the meeting, he wouldn't have come or met with them. We spoke for so long that he stayed half an hour longer than planned. That meant that his audience with Husák was half an hour late because he'd been speaking to us and Husák knew that.
Also present at the famous meal was Karel Srp, today a controversial figure. In 1988, he was chairman of the Jazz Section, a relatively large anti-regime organization.
This was a nervous breakfast because we expected they'd arrest us all. Luckily, that didn't happen, thanks to Mitterrand, because Husák had told him it was all the same who he met in his free time. It was fantastic, because Mitterrand was a master of diplomacy. He radiated political potency and positive energy.
Now, to mark next month's 30th anniversary of the breakfast, the Czech Foreign Ministry is planning to pay homage to Mitterrand's gesture of solidarity, the website of Weekly Respect reported this week. The recently appointed Minister of Foreign Affairs, Tomáš Petříček, told Respect that his department was considering holding similar breakfasts at various places around the world, to which local dissidents and activists would be invited. The move would be in line with Mr. Petříček's stated intention of reviving Prague's support for human rights internationally. While this was a pillar of the country's foreign policy in the past, it's been somewhat sidelined in recent years.
And that was Ian Willoughby with that report. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it is now time for our main feature of the day. There is a long-term water shortage in the Czech Republic. After several years of unusually low precipitation, it is not just farmers and foresters who are noticing a lack of moisture in nature. The Czech Hydrometeorological Institute is warning that our attitude towards water needs to change.
Water is precious. It is something we all seem to understand. Yet somehow we also took water for granted here in the Czech Republic, at least until recently. After all, Moravia suffered devastating floods in 1997. A few years later, the Vltava, or the Moldau River, flooded historic center of Prague. Several underground stations were underwater, and dozens of thousands of people had to be evacuated. But these and other floods are becoming frequent and freak weather fluctuations, while the overall climate is getting warmer and drier. Jan Danhelka is the deputy director of the Czech Hydrometeorological Institute.
Víte, vždycky ten extrém, který probíhá, je velice těžké hodnotit z toho, co je jeho.
You know, it is always difficult to assess the current extreme fluctuation from a long-term perspective, to state categorically what is the cause, whether it is a kind of natural accident or a part of a permanent shift. With high probability, it is a combination of both factors. What we can say for certain is that there have always been fluctuations of the water levels in the past, but at the same time, it is a fact that we are experiencing a warmer period, no doubt about that. The temperatures are higher than they were, say, in the 1980s. If nothing else, it contributes to evaporation of surface water. So even if the level of precipitation is a natural fluctuation, in combination with the higher temperature, it means higher losses. Not only do we have less rain, but more water vaporizes.
And it's been going on for quite some time now.
Ten stres, který je vidět momentálně, který trvá už od roku 2014 minimálně, že opravdu té vody je nedostatek.
The stress in nature that we can now observe has been going on at least since 2014. So this water shortage is becoming a long-term problem. From what we see in our data, the dry and damp periods come sort of back to back. That can mean a change in the memory of the natural system, meaning it is not so easy to get back to the balanced state of water levels. It is not enough if the precipitation becomes normal for a period of time. The deficit is too big. The question is whether the system can adapt to new conditions, for example, by some change of vegetation. I expect some adjustment will have to come on the side of nature as well as on the side of us people.
Ta reakce systému vždycky musí přijít, stejně tak jako ze strany člověka.
Já teda jsem podnikl vlastně od té doby, co jsem vyšel ze školy, takže 50 let.
Jiří Zvolánek has been farming in the Vysočina or Highlands region for 50 years. He's driving me around the fields that he's been working on for such a long time.
Já bych řekl, že dlouhodobý, že to může být otázka tak kolem 10 let, kdy se projevuje teda.
I think it has been about 10 years since we started noticing the significant effects of a prolonged drought. Also, the winters have been either with less snow or nearly completely without snow, and that seems to be a contributing factor. The lack of groundwater was not traditionally a problem here in the highlands. But to be frank, in the past 2 or 3 years, it has been getting worse and worse, even here.
What experienced and veteran farmers like Mr. Zvolánek see in the fields around them, academics confirm. Robert Pokluda is the dean of the Faculty of Horticulture at the Mendel University in Brno.
Ta vážná situace se prohlubuje každý rok s tím, jak ubývá zásob spodní vody a nejsou doplňovány.
It is getting more and more serious each and every year. There is less and less groundwater and it is not being replenished by natural precipitation. All the permanent vegetation suffers. It is a combination of factors. Well, winters are warmer and mostly without snow. That means less water in the spring that is followed by a hot, dry summer. Even annual plants are affected negatively, even if indirectly. Warmer weather means that there are now pests here that were not common before. The new conditions suit them.
Určitě tento efekt nastává běžně a nastával historii, protože si nemůžeme myslet, že vše bylo rovnoměrné.
Sure, that kind of thing was quite common in the past. The climate has never been completely stable. There have always been fluctuations. However, what we are witnessing now is a coincidence of several negative factors. There is simply less and less water, and that goes hand in hand with increasing temperatures. We people contribute by planting a less than ideal mix of vegetation, to put it mildly. All that together causes much more serious problems than just the drought itself.
Robert Pokluda, the Dean of the Faculty of Horticulture at the Mendel University in Brno. You might think that in such circumstances people will be much more careful how they use water. But it is a fact that more than 15% or 1/6 of the drinking water in the Czech Republic leaks through cracks and holes in the pipes. Oldřich Vlasák is a former deputy president of the European Parliament. Now he heads the Czech Water Supply and Sewerage Association.
My bohužel jsme byli ovlivněni takovou tou výstavbou v těch 60. letech. Docházelo k velkému.
Unfortunately, we can still see the impact of the hectic construction boom of the 1960s. Under communism, large housing estates were hurriedly built using cheap, low-quality material for piping and other infrastructure. Also, a large part of the system was built by complete amateurs, untrained workers, simply people who had to contribute their time after work and at weekends if they wanted to be allocated a flat. That was the collective system of work under communism, and a substantial part of the infrastructure dates from those times and has to be replaced, which costs a lot of money and takes time. Historically, though, we have also piping that is 100 years old, and the water losses are minimal. So the losses we do have are caused by the building boom in the communist era, when low-quality materials and less-than-standard methods of construction were used.
Now, it's true that the losses of the drinking water are much higher in some other countries. But it is also true that, for example, in Germany or the Netherlands, they are half of the amount that gets lost in Czechia. You might think that in the bigger picture, it doesn't really matter. After all, the water that leaks from the pipes stays in the hydrological system. It doesn't simply disappear. However, Jan Daňhelka of the Czech Hydrometeorological Institute explains.
Ono vyrobit pitnou vodu a dodat jí není úplně jednoduché. Potřebujeme na to mít vodohospodářskou soustavu, nádrže nebo zdroje podzemních vod.
To produce possible water is not at all that simple. We need water reservoirs or underground wells of different depths, water treatment plants, networks of water piping, and so on. Literally, every liter that we do not need and can save counts. We may need it when our sources deplete. And in the year 2018, many villages and areas in the Czech Republic really did reach their water supply limits.
Hlavně v těch menších obcích třeba zásobovaných z podzemních vod dostal. Tak je to samozřejmě pravda, ta voda se nikde nestrácí, tím že ji vypijeme, tak to neznamená,
of course, the water does not disappear. If we drink it, it does not mean it is lost. It comes back into the natural cycle in the form of wastewater that is treated and returned into the system. The problem is that we, people, have to invest a lot of time, money and energy into making the water possible. If we could just come to any source, take the water we find and consume it immediately, it would be much simpler. But we have to gather water in reservoirs or pump it from wells, treat it and get rid of any potentially harmful ingredients before it is fit for human consumption.
Vlastně použitelná pro zásobování obyvatel.
If there is a country in which we should look for an inspiration, it should be Israel. It's understandable. Israel's arid climate and geopolitical situation make water a strategic asset of utmost security importance. So the water losses are probably the lowest in the world, around 4%. That's why Czech experts are already learning from their Israeli colleagues.
S Izraelem se v oblasti toho know-how, jak používat vodu, nastavila spolupráce díky aktivitám zdejší ambasády.
We entered into cooperation with Israel thanks to the active approach of the Israeli embassy and the Ministry of Environment. What we need is know-how. There are some really interesting things going on. For example, they have this amazing piece of machinery for quick repairs in Jerusalem. Instead of digging up the road and looking for the damaged section of piping, they use this apparatus that simply presses a small bullet through the pipe, detects the holes or cracks, and seals them. So they need to shut down the water supply just for an hour or two in one section and send this gadget that fixes the problem and stops the leaks.
But at the end of the day, technology can only do so much. It's the attitude of people that needs to change.
Byl bych strašně rád, kdyby to vnímání vody jako něčeho, co je vzácné a co není jenom to, že otevřu kohoutek a teče mi voda a bez
I would be really glad if we changed our approach to and understanding of water. It is an extremely precious resource, not just something that automatically starts flowing without any problem the moment we open the tap. I think we are starting to understand the environment, its high value. When we come to some beautiful, cool place in a forest, we usually recognize its value. Unfortunately, it seems that we do not appreciate water in the same way, at least not yet. Maybe it is because it is a kind of a component of the landscape that we simply take for granted. Or maybe we see some stagnant water in the river dams or canals, and that gives it some negative connotations too.
Jde o tu vodu. Ta voda prostě vzácná surovina je a je úžasná tím, jak proudí, je to vlastně.
But it is really the water that is at stake now. It is a valuable resource that forms a kind of blood circulatory system of the earth, all ecosystems, the whole planet. It is a water that makes the whole cycle of life possible. And if we could learn to understand and accept water as this very significant and fascinating element, that would really make me happy.
Na druhou stranu fascinující materie, to by mě velice těšilo.
Jan Daňhelka, deputy director of the Czech Hydrometeorological Institute in Prague. Perhaps he can draw some consolation from the fact that the water shortage has become one of the themes often mentioned, explained and analyzed in the media. It looks like the Czechs don't take water for granted anymore. Vít Pohanka, Radio Prague.
Sadly, that brings us to the end of our program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Tom McEncrow. Thank you very much for joining us and goodbye.